Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we turn to verse 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's Paul Chappell.
You see, friend, the closer you get to God and the more of His righteousness that fills your life, you're going to find the farther away you are from the wickedness and the wrong of this world. And if your total emphasis is on getting away from the wickedness and you are not remembering to draw closer to God, then you will have a short-lived spiritual life, because it must be the balance, not only away from the negative, but to the positive, hungering and thirsting for God, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And you see, the Bible says in Psalm 97 and verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." And you see, the real reason that we should say, boy, I'm so burdened about the wickedness in this world, and I don't want to find myself living that kind of a life, is because I love the Lord and I'm filled with His righteousness. Now, if I'm only filled with some concepts and thoughts and mere guidelines that are not firmly founded to a love for Christ, then I may find my way back into these things. So I must say, Lord, I want Your righteousness to fill me. I want Your holiness to fill my life as I grow in Your Word every day. Have you ever noticed how that an advertising company will work very hard to create an appetite? Have you ever noticed that? It might be for milk. It might be for chocolate. It might be for ice cream. It might be for a hamburger. I've noticed with Carl's Jr., they are appealing to the messy, sloppy appetite of a man. All of their commercials. I mean, it's not just sizzling beef. Now it's dripping mayonnaise and ketchup falling all over people. I'll be frank, that doesn't get my appetite for some reason. In fact, watching Dennis Rodman eat a hamburger takes my appetite away, frankly. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to create an appetite so that you see this sizzling pizza on the television and you want to just run to it. Now listen, in the positive sense of the word, the more you read the Bible tomorrow morning, the more you come to the church house tonight or Wednesday night, the more we feed the spiritual appetite, the greater the spiritual appetite will grow. And as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be filled and we'll desire more and more of it. You take a man on the other side of the issue who takes himself and buys pornography and he's hungering and thirsting for that, the more that appetite will grow. We must determine where we're going to live and at what level, and we must feed the spiritual appetites. And so here we see the object of spiritual hunger is to grow in righteousness. And they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, I believe you're here this morning because you want to be right. You want to live a holy life. You want to be closer to God, and you're hungering and thirsting to know God in a greater way. And that's exciting because of this third point. You see, the third point this morning is the outcome of spiritual hunger. What happens when someone says, God, I want to know you. God, I want you to be real in my life. God, I want to live a right life. I want to be right with you. I want to be right with myself. I want to be right with others. And so because of that, we read the Word of God and we pray and we get to the house of God. What happens when someone really is hungering for righteousness? Well, let's come back to the verse, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Notice what it says. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now let's first of all notice the word blessed. The word blessed, this word means that we can be happy as we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You see, very clearly stated, a holy life is a happy life. Now, the unsaved man this morning, perhaps in this room, thinks, good night, if I get saved, if I get God in my life, that means I can't drink, cuss, smoke, or run, or chew, or be with those that do. And they think, I don't want to give all that up. I don't want to live that old fuddy-duddy life. Why? It wouldn't be any fun at all. I like going out and playing my softball games and having my fun with my buddies afterwards. And I don't want to give all that up because I'll just have to sacrifice all the fun of life. Let me tell you something. That's a lie of the devil. You haven't known fun until you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And you might as well mark it down. When the Bible says blessed, the word here means happy. It means a wonderfully blessed life. You see, holiness is happiness. Let me tell you now who the one that really does not know happiness is. It's the guy who laughs the hardest at the party, who tells the dirtiest jokes, who acts like he's having the greatest time, who drinks the most beer, and when his head hits that pillow at night, you ask him, sir, are you really satisfied with this life? And he would say, no. But you ask the man who's hungering for God and living for God and treating his family right and reading the Word of God and knowing God in a greater way. And he'll say, you know, with every passing day, I'm loving the Lord more and I'm finding that God is more real in my life. Now, we must be careful that we do not equate holiness merely with separation from evil. Let me say that again. If we think that being holy is merely a matter of separating from evil, we're wrong. And I'm going to give an illustration of that. The Pharisees in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' day, had more standards and they had more rules than anybody here in this room has. The Pharisees, with their religious phylacteries and all of their standards, they walked around and they cried out denunciations against others who were not as they were. And we've studied that in the past. And they even would stand on the street corners and say, I thank God I'm not as other men are. I fast twice a week and I give my tithes. And they had all of their rules. But now, wait a minute. That alone does not equate to a holy, godly life. Nor does it mean that we're going to be happy. In fact, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not happy at all. In fact, the Sadducees did not believe in the return of Jesus Christ to this world. That's why they were sad, you see. And the Pharisees, they were just so filled with their rules to the point that they were not filled with God. Do you follow me? And they thought that happiness came from rules, but happiness comes from a holiness that is more than rules and standards. Now true holiness is being filled with His Word. Now, you're looking this morning at an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher. Now, I'm not diminishing the importance of having some landmarks in our lives. I'm not diminishing that. We need some standards in our lives. And it's vital that this community, when we say, I sing in the choir at Lancaster Baptist Church, that our life would exhibit some measure of a good testimony. But I am saying that those kinds of rules alone will not bring happiness. What really brings happiness is being filled with the knowledge of God in my life and knowing that He's real in my life. And I want to say something that perhaps you may want to jot down or perhaps you may want to listen to very clearly. But separation is not the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. Separation alone is not the goal. Being like Jesus is the goal. And I think of Galatians 2:20 on this point, and I would invite you to turn there with me for a moment. As we talk about the blessed happy life, it's not merely in hungering for an outward holiness, though that's important. But it is a hungering for an inner holiness, which will bring an outer holiness. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul the Apostle says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says here, it is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Now that is the definition of being filled with righteousness. Christ living in me. And he says, the life that I live by the flesh, I'm not living now myself. It's Christ that liveth in me. And you see, you and I need to recognize that if we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it simply means this. Not only is Christ in me by salvation, but Christ's life is being lived out through me. Why don't I go to the honky-tonk? Because Christ lives in me, and I don't think that's where he would go. Not because I can't go because I'm a Baptist. I don't go because I'm a Christian. The life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. Christ liveth in me. I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I want to know God in a greater way. I want to know God in a greater way. And listen to me. The more you get to know him, the more you realize he's holy and he's righteous. And when you're right with him and right with yourself, you'll be right with others. And then it will affect your testimony outwardly. And that's why sometimes a brand new Christian, a young Christian, an immature Christian, a backslidden Christian will look at someone who's been saved many years and they'll say, why do they live such a restrictive life? Why do they have to be that way? Don't make fun of that, friend. Maybe they've come to a place where they understand some things about the holiness of God, and maybe they're trying to be very, very careful so that in their life they would live out the life of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And someone who's really serving God from the heart isn't going to say, oh man, I can't go do what I used to do. They're going to say, I really don't care to anymore. God's replaced those old appetites with new appetites. And when someone says, oh man, I can't be a Baptist. I couldn't go to Lancaster Baptist because, you know, you just can't do those things anymore. Listen, they're missing the whole point. It has nothing to do with being a Baptist. It has everything to do with hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And you know, really sometimes what people are saying is, my appetites are so strong for the world, I want to get into a church that won't mess around with my appetites. I want to be somewhere where I can live for the world and ingratiate my own fleshly appetites and never have to have anybody talk about it. And so the outcome of spiritual hunger is that you will be blessed. Now, an immature Christian, furthermore, will live a separated life merely to avoid chastening. But a mature Christian lives a holy life to glorify God, you see. So the immature Christian says, oh boy, I better not swear at work because if I do, God will hit me over the head with a baseball bat. But the mature Christian says, I don't want to live that way at work because I want God to be glorified with my life. You see, he's living at a higher level. He's living on a different plane, spiritually speaking. Now, there are blessed rewards to those who live a holy life. Those who are seeking to be righteous. And we're not talking Pharisaical self-righteousness, right? We're talking about the Christ-centered life. Those who are really seeking to live a godly life, what's going to take place is that they are going to be blessed. They are going to be happy in that Christian life. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God says, I'm going to put my grace, I'm going to put my glory on the life of someone who walks uprightly. I'm going to bless them and I'm going to honor them. I had the joy and privilege this past week of preaching in a meeting in the state of Tennessee with Dr. Lee Robertson. And it was an exciting kind of a meeting, a large tent, about 2,600 people the first few nights there in the middle of a downpouring rainstorm. And Dr. Lee Robertson, as he stood to preach there, Dr. Robertson pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee for 44 years. You ought to read his book in the bookstore, 40 plus. And he stood to preach, a dignified, white-haired man combs it back. Dr. Robertson is 87 years old. 87 years old. Boy, he stood with great power and preached the Word of God. And I was watching Dr. Robertson and thinking about his life, thinking about some of the trials that he'd experienced. thinking about the time when he buried his daughter Joy. While his ministry was just starting to get going, the trials that he experienced. Think about some of the different things he went through. But somehow, as he sought God, and as he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, and as he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, he never lost his hunger for God, and because of that, he is a blessed man today. Sometimes when you have trials, sometimes marital trials, financial trials, will cause us to get our eyes off of God. Sometimes when you have a trial of a friend that no longer wants to walk in fellowship with you and it hurts you and you don't understand that, and if you're not careful, you can get your eyes off of God during that time. But listen, the Bible says if you'll keep hungering and thirsting for righteousness, if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says your life will be blessed and God will put His grace and His glory upon your life. And Dr. Robertson, what a glorious man, an 87-year life, of which that time 67 years have been spent preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's hungered and he's thirsted after righteousness. And so the Bible says we'll be blessed. Now let's look at the second word, or the second promise in the verse 6. It says, for they shall be, what does it say? Filled. For they shall be filled. The word filled, if you're taking notes this morning, means to be satisfied by or to be controlled by. To be satisfied by or to be controlled by. No longer controlled by the appetites of this world. And I know men today and ladies today who are literally controlled by alcohol. Controlled by alcohol. Some who are controlled by pornography. They don't think they are, but they are. Some who are controlled by drugs. Now, the Bible says, if you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be controlled by, you'll be satisfied by the righteousness of God. How many of you believe that there's quite a big difference between being controlled by alcohol and by God's righteousness? How many of you think it'll make a difference in the way you live? Of course. You'll be filled, the Bible says. Now, Psalm 17 in verse 15 says it this way, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David said, as I contemplate, as I meditate on my God, upon his word, upon his holiness, he said, I will be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. And I want to tell you something. The most satisfying days of your life are those days when you put your head on the pillow at night and you can say, I wasn't perfect today, but I was more like Jesus today than I was the day before. I wasn't perfect today, but I really felt like maybe God used me to be a witness today. And I invited a friend to the open house today. And I refrained from listening to something I would have listened to before. And I feel like my life is becoming more pleasing unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. That is a satisfying day in the life of a believer. And the Bible says you'll be filled. Your life will be a satisfying life, a life that is controlled not by your appetites, but by God's righteousness. Now, friend, you and I can have a schedule filled with spiritual activities, but nothing will satisfy as much as knowing God and spending time with God. We have an activity-filled week this week, and those of us that are here at the church won't be at the church much this week. We'll be out in the community talking to people, and I believe in staying busy for God, and there's nothing wrong with staying busy for God. But now, wait a minute. Once again, hear it this morning from the Word of God and understand that activity does not equate to a spiritual filling. In fact, some of the most dissatisfied, disorientated people you will ever meet are busy, busy, busy all the time, but never taking time to really be filled from the Word of God. Never taking time to hunger and thirst for the Word of God. And so when you do that, God says, I will fill you. Now I want to give you an illustration of that. And I'd like to give you an illustration of someone that was just so busy, 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 busy for Jesus, but not filled, not satisfied. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Because the word filled really means to be satisfied or to be controlled by. And I want to show you someone that, oh, what a great lady she is, but she missed the point. And I want you to see this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And I just want to encourage some Christians this morning. Number one, yes, stay busy. Let's be out soul winning this week. But number two, don't miss the real point of the Christian life. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now stop right there. Mary was hungry for righteousness. She wanted to be filled with righteousness. She wanted to learn from God's Son. Notice verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was on the Women's Missionary Society. She was the one that had to get all the banquets ready. She had to do this, 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 and this, if you could picture it in the modern day vernacular, okay? She was just busy serving the Lord. And Martha's a wonderful woman. But let's follow the story for a moment. And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now this is often the case. Someone who's really working and working and working, you'll find out if they're doing it for the Lord, and I'll tell you how. If they start to compare themselves, and if they start to say, that guy's not doing as much as I do, maybe they're doing it for their own ego needs. And she comes to the Lord and she says, Lord, would you tell Mary to get over here and help me, because she's not doing as much as I think she should do. Now notice what the Lord says, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, which means worried, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now the Lord says, Martha, you're all troubled about this. And perhaps Mary could have done more. That's not the point here. The point is simply stated. Mary was doing the most important thing by coming to Jesus' feet and by saying, Lord, fill me with your righteousness. Fill me with your word. Lord, show me what I need to be. Show me what I need to know. And God says in verse number 42, one thing is needful. That ties in with Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen to me. You can run the bus route. You can sing in the choir. You can be a part of all the social organizations of this valley. But if you're not taking time to sit at Jesus' feet, if you're not taking time to read his word and to get to the house of God, if you're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you mark it down. Everything you are doing now will come to naught, and you'll be a bitter person, worried about who didn't help and what someone else didn't do. And one day you'll find yourself facing tremendous discouragement, and Jesus and a continuing relationship with the one who has imputed righteousness to you, allowing that righteousness to be imparted by a continuing daily walk with him, only Jesus can satisfy the needs of your soul. And that's why some of the busiest people that you know sometimes reach tremendous depths of discouragement, because they're not really communing with God. They're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now, this is not to say that we should not be involved serving. Far from that. Jesus Christ has called us to a life of service. But before he calls us to a life of service, he calls us to a life of communion. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 28 that the disciples came and first they worshiped him. And then he said to them, go ye into all the world. And so we see, blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness. There is no true happiness, there is no inner peace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious, lots of people believe in God, but the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to him in faith, to trust him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.